but the English boy. The bird was worth more than you could imagine, and now it is dead because of you." Avicia buried her face in her hands. When Biotta applied a cold poultice of crushed marigold and fresh comfrey leaves, she whimpered, though Biotta tried to soothe her. "Hush now, my lambkin. The worst of it is over. This poultice shall prevent infection and reduce the threat of fever. Your scars shall fade with time."
"Do not coddle her," Giselle snapped at Biotta, who hung her head, before she turned her cold stare on Avicia again. "You have shamed my husband before Baldwin." Her cheeks flamed. "Have you forgotten all he has done for you? We raised you after the deaths of your parents. By Rudolph's good graces, you have resided here as one of Matilda's attendants, yet you betrayed his trust."
"Edric wanted to see the bird. When we took it out, I did not know that there would be a goshawk in the sky."
"You thought only of the Englishman's wishes. You did not think of the offence against my husband, or Matilda, or the punishment that awaited you. You are a selfish, stubborn child. Only a fool takes such risks in a vain attempt to impress a boy."
"Edric is not just a boy."
Giselle rolled her grey eyes toward the timber ceiling. "Saint Jude grant us hope. I blame Rudolph. He would not listen when I advised against taking you in as a child. He has spoilt you overmuch, girl. His love for his sister has made him sentimental. He has allowed you too many freedoms and indulged your every whim in the hopes you might prove useful to us. Now he shall see the truth."
Avicia moaned softly. She could not risk banishment from court. Where would she go? "I am sorry, my lady. I know I would not be here without Count Rudolph's generosity."
"You should have remembered that before this foolery occurred. By some miracle you have survived your punishment. Be thankful Baldwin did not cut off your hand as he should have ordered. Be grateful you still serve among Matilda's attendants, though I do not know if she shall ever forgive you. You shall remain here and do your duty to Rudolph. Do you understand me?"
Avicia lowered her gaze and nodded. Biotta bound the poultice with clean cloths and patted her arm, but the comfort of her nurse's familiar touch diminished neither her pain nor humiliation. She shook her head, recalling her foolhardiness. At the time, she had thought of it as fearlessness, another clandestine visit inside the mews for a glimpse of its newest resident, a prized Merlin. When she discovered Edric there, his compliments on her skill with the falcon emboldened her. His bold desires manipulated her foolish decision.
"With the betrothal negotiations concluded for Lady Judith," Giselle interrupted her thoughts, "the English shall return home. This Edric of Newington goes with them. He is an English lord's son. His home is far from you. Put him from your mind."
She paused and knelt beside the pallet. Her talon-like fingernail scraped across Avicia's brow and her lips curved in a smirk.
"Remember that he encouraged you, but you bore the punishment alone. He did not suffer for his role in such foolery."
Avicia met her eyes. "Edric suffered too. I saw the pain in his eyes when they lashed me."
Giselle drew back and dug her fingernails into her palm. "Pray there are no further consequences of your folly. If you have damaged our relations with Baldwin, you shall be sorry."
She glared at Biotta.
"Leave her be and let her consider the consequences of this day."
Biotta followed her from the room, pausing briefly at the entrance. She looked over her shoulder and shook her head, her gaze full of compassion and sadness. Alone, Avicia turned her face toward the wall. The tears she had struggled against during Biotta's ministrations now trickled down her cheeks.
"Oh, Edric."
In misery, she kept her face pressed against the timber. Then another draught pervaded the room. Heavy, familiar footfalls crossed the floor. She raised herself up on one elbow. Hellfire blazed along the seams of shredded skin on her back. She tucked the front of the tattered robe under her arms for modesty before she dared.